The purpose being to extract a confession or to simply to punish. You know, you think about the way a dog worries at a bone. We use that term, he worries the bone, meaning he gnaws and gnaws and gnaws, and the worms shall eat and eat and eat, and the fire shall burn and burn and burn. But what is it burning? According to Isaiah, carcasses. And the thing is, this is in the new heavens and the new earth. And here we have, men will come up from one new moon to another to worship before the Lord. And they're going to go out and look at the carcasses. And to me, that is a sort of an examination. I mean, I saw a great white throne, all right? And right next to it is the lake of fire. See, the scriptures say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that they're going to be punished by being put away from his presence. How can they be away from his presence when it's right here? They're coming to worship before God, and they're going forth and looking nearby on the carcasses. Because the valley Jesus referred to, Gehenna, which is translated hell, and it refers to the lake of fire, I believe. The valley that he referred to is right there next to Jerusalem. It was the garbage pit where they would burn carcasses of animals and all kind. There were continual fires and worms going in and out. And that idea of torment is the idea of that they would be put under examination. That their memory, though they will have died, the memory of them will not perish. But they shall be a continual remembrance. The torment is referring to the examination side of things. I do not believe it is a medieval torture where they are kept alive so that for all eternity they could be tormented and suffer and suffer and suffer. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the lake of fire is, as it is described in Revelation, a second death. And if the first death be, as I teach, which is unconscious, thoughtless, dreamless, and I did not say that myself, but the scriptures themselves declare that, you know, in that very day his thoughts perish. In the Psalms and in other places, you know, they refer to death as sleep. Now, I don't want to go into that, to the detail I did. I did a whole paper. There are, out, you know, 75 pages on oraclesofgod.org. Right now, what I'm here to do is teach you Revelation. Okay, so one more thing on this. Ezekiel 28, I take to be a symbolic reference to Satan. It calls him there the King of Tyre. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. And I've had this memorized for years. I did a song, it was one of the first songs I did, one of the first few songs. Thou art the finished pattern, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every stone was thy covering, every precious stone. The sardius, topaz. The diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the sapphire. I don't have it totally memorized. See, I'm trying to say it, but if I sang it, I could sing all those stones. Topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Yes, the workmanship of thy drums and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. From the day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. But the final sentence upon him is, I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, and the sight of all them that behold thee, all they that see thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Thou shalt be a terror, I think, answers to this torment. Never shalt thou be. You will be eternally put out of God's presence. Because if, here's the thing, if there was such a thing as a torture chamber, the powers it would have to be God. God would be powering it. God would be maintaining it. He would be seeing to it that they stayed alive and that the torture never ceased. He would make sure that the pain was never diminished. And this is getting to my, and so I, what I was saying about Ezekiel 28, before I get to something I really want to say, Ezekiel 28, I'll bring thee to ashes. I will destroy you. Never shalt thou be. In fact, also the king of Babylon in chapter 14 of Isaiah also says that, you know, he would be cast out of his grave like a carcass trodden underfoot. Like I said, this is said of him, of Satan. He would be like a carcass trodden underfoot, cast out of his grave. You can, if torment has to do with touching something and testing it and seeing what it's truly made of, does he have to be alive for us to do that? Does he have to be personally experiencing it? What is the point of the torment of the devil? Is it to make him suffer? Or is it so that we should remember? Or so that we should know? Or that we would understand? I mean, what is the point? Does it say what the point is? Is that the vengeance of God? And this leads into my point. Here's the thing, is that people who disagree with me, now I don't, you know, who believe in eternal torture, what really irks me about them is that they do not own this like they should. What do I mean? Well, they'll start talking about, and they'll start getting all weepy and how God loves you and he doesn't want this to happen to you. You know what? You make me sick. You need to, if this is what you believe in, you need to own it. You got to say, yes, I love it, God. Torture them. They have sinned, so they deserve to be tortured forever and ever. And I love it. If God is just, if you love the justice of God, and this is God's justice, you should love it, you hypocrite. And you weep and say, oh, it's terrible. No, it's not. It's wonderful. If it's true, then it's wonderful, and you should love it. It makes me sick, these hypocrites, these fakes. By reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of, and their heresies have polluted men's minds so that people won't even listen to the gospel because of this stuff they preach, this medieval Roman Catholic idea of this sort of torture chamber. It's not true. But they have polluted men's minds and corrupted our way of thinking so that we've been so conditioned that we see it that way. We've been conditioned to look at things in that way. And they see this vision of this God who he wants to save people. He loves them all. He's powerless against free will. When they don't free will choose him, he's just gotta torture them forever because, hey, his hands are tied. He wouldn't want to. Goodness knows, precious, loving, doe-eyed Jesus would never want to torture people forever. So he's probably weeping his brains out too. It's disgusting. They make him weak. And at the same time, they make him a monster. That he would actually create a medieval-style torture chamber. Because that's basically what they describe. They may not like me calling it medieval-style, but what else would you call it?